Hi, and welcome to the Perinatal Quality Collaborative of North Carolina podcast. I'm Keith Cochran, and I'm here with Karen Metzger. This podcast is part of the Sum of the Parts series. Karen's here to help me get a better understanding of quality improvement, and I thought it might be fun to share these conversations with y'all. Karen, could you start by reminding our listeners why we are calling it the Sum of the Parts series?
Keith, you may be familiar with the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. While this may be true, sometimes to stop and consider the definitions or implications of those parts adds clarity to complex issues in our work.
And what part are we going to talk about today?
Let's talk about measures. We've talked about data in a previous conversation, and it's true, a quality improvement initiative is about making healthcare systems safer for patients, not about measurement. But measurement and examining what we measure over time play an important role in discovering whether the changes we made are actual improvements. Used correctly, measurement will accelerate improvement, not slow it down.
What kind of measures do we use?
To improve safety and quality in healthcare, we use three types of measures. The first is an outcome measure, and it helps to think of this measure as the answer to a patient's question. For instance, is this antibiotic the best one to treat my infection? Or, will a hearing test at birth successfully diagnose problems? Where science has demonstrated best practices, providers can answer these questions with the most authority, assuming, of course, that their habits and processes are built on these best practices. We are frequently trying to design systems that have more reliable outcomes, and we are always striving to improve these outcomes.
So a simple example might be that I want to have more birds in my yard where I can observe them. I would have to get an understanding of how many birds I can observe now before I try to increase the number.
That's right. In the nursery, if I want more patients to feel comfortable feeding their babies at discharge, I have to measure how many feel comfortable now, just like you are measuring how many birds you see in your yard today. After we make a change, we can measure again and see if the change was an improvement. These are both examples of before and after outcome measures.
What else do we measure?
The second type of measure we need is called a process measure. Paul Batalden is fond of saying, every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. Our healthcare system is complex, and every action has multiple steps. More steps means more opportunities to make mistakes, have delays, or other defects that affect the outcomes. How many steps do you think, for instance, there are between a written prescription for a hospitalized patient and the actual administration of the medicine?
I don't know, 10, 12?
There are over 100. Pharmacists, nurses, doctors, clerks, and the delivery person at a minimum all have a hand in this core process for healing hospitalized patients. When the event is mapped out, one part of the process may stand out as the first opportunity to simplify or standardize the work. Working on this process should improve the outcome.
So if you work on the drug delivery to the unit part of the system, you could get better outcomes for the patients because they get their treatment sooner, right?
Right, that's the outcome measure. The process measure is how quickly the drug gets to the floor before the change, and then how quickly the drug gets to the floor after the change. The hypothesis that less time will elapse between drug ordered and drug given if the drug is delivered more quickly from the pharmacy will be proven or disproven.
This is similar to my example with the birds. When I wanted to increase the number of birds I could observe in my yard, my hypothesis was that if I fed them, I would see more of them. I found it to be true, but frequently I ran out of bird food and days elapsed before I got around to getting more and refilling the bird feeders.
Keith, I see that you've identified the outcome you wanted, measured the event, made a change by feeding the birds, and were able to count both a higher number and a greater variety of birds after you made the change. When you map the process, you find the most room for improvement is in figuring out how to not run out of bird food. So it's time to work on that process.
Okay, so we've talked about outcome measures and process measures. What's the third measure?
The last measure is a balancing measure, and it's best understood as the check on unintended consequences. We don't want the solution to improve one process to erode another process. In our pharmacy example, the balancing measure chosen was no interruption of restock. We found, however, that increasingly pharmacist shelves were not restocked completely, after personnel spent more time delivering drugs to the nursing units.
A check on unintended consequences. In my example, I found that stopping more frequently for bird food meant that I invested more frequently in the lottery ticket retirement plan, which hasn't been working all that well.
So perhaps you could consider buying the 20-pound bag of bird food every 2 weeks, balancing your need not to run out of bird food with your need to reduce your lottery investments.
And that's all we have time for today.
Next time, let's talk about using the PDSA cycle to improve the care we deliver.
Until then, I'm Keith Cochran.
And I'm Karen Metzger.
And this has been Some of the Parts. Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us on the web at www.pqcnc.org.